has gone through, oh, so many different incarnations the last few weeks. But we're going to talk about grace. We're going to talk about, and we're going to finish up our talk of what makes us and unites us together as a United Methodist Church, and we're going to talk about grace. And I'm also going to offer a few reflections on the events of the General Conference of this past week, the international gathering of United Methodists from all over the world that was down in St. Louis and that Elisa was part of. Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, please guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want you to imagine a teenager that isn't necessarily feeling too great about themselves. Maybe they don't feel like they've got a lot of value. Maybe they're not feeling particularly loved at some moment. Maybe if some of you are teenagers, maybe you can identify with that feeling. Some of you who are not teenagers, maybe you can identify with having that feeling at some point in your life. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people sometimes are told they're not worth much, or they might think they don't have a lot of worth. They might be told you're too tall, you're too short, you're black, you're white, you're a girl, you're a boy, you're too smart, you're too dumb, you're strange, you're weird, you're a nerd, you're a jock, whatever it might be. And these negative messages, sometimes they come from our peers. We've probably all seen people not be treated so nice by their peer group. Or sometimes these negative messages can come from parents. They say to someone, you're a disappointment. You're not what I was hoping for in a child. Or they might come from some other adult in a life. And sometimes they don't come from the outside at all. They come from the inside. Our own hearts and our own minds don't necessarily say the nicest things to us. We beat ourselves up sometimes because of who we love or how our voice sounds or because our body doesn't work quite the way we want it to or because we're not really quarterback material or we're never going to have the lead in the school musical. So I want you to imagine a teenager who's just not feeling too great for whatever reason. And imagine that the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, somehow brings them to a United Methodist Church. Let me read these words again that Aaron read for us before, because they are just so darn important. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. Christ, by grace you have been saved. And raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved by faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of good works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Now, long before I ever became a pastor, starting about 20 years ago, I started volunteering with youth groups. And so I've, for 20 years, helped teach confirmation in United Methodist churches. You want to know something interesting? I've used 5 different curriculums, and I think all 5 of them, and I can absolutely promise you 4 of them, one of the first scripture passages we shared with the young people were some of those verses from 2 Ephesians, or from Ephesians chapter 2, I should phrase that better. So it's like these verses are really, really important. And why are they so important? Because they sum up what God is trying to do through the grace that is offered to us through Jesus Christ. So what do these passages say? That God is merciful, and that God is loving, and that God loves us from the first. It does not matter how someone has treated us. It does not matter if someone has been cruel to us. It does not matter if we're not thinking very well of ourselves. It does not matter if someone has told us we are a disappointment. We are loved by God. God's grace is offered to all of us. whether we're teens or we're old people, however you want to gauge that, whether you're a child or you're in middle age, God loves all of us and offers this amazing grace to each and every one of us. God saw the hurts of this world, and though God owed us nothing, God spared nothing to offer us love and grace. And God offers not just to love us, but to help us be the best that we can be, to transform us in the grace. God sees the best that is possible for each and every one of us. God knows us better than we'll ever know ourselves. And God seeks to draw out the very best in each and every one of us. And God can do that because God's love is perfect. And God's perfect love seeks to make us more perfect through the grace of Jesus Christ. And God truly knows what needs to change. Sometimes humans think they need to change something about somebody else. I had a great aunt, Irene, who's gone on to her reward many years ago, but she grew up in the first 20 years of the 20th century when she was going to school, and she was left-handed. And they didn't want her writing with her left hand in her little one-room schoolhouse out in the country, so they'd whack her with a ruler every time they caught her trying to write with her left hand. I'm seeing at least one other person nod. Maybe that was your experience, or at least you know that kind of thing used to happen. God does not say, okay, you're left-handed, I got to turn you right-handed before I can use you. One of my favorite metaphors for God is a sculptor. I want you to imagine a sculptor's got a beautiful block of stone. Let's say it's marble. God, the master sculptor, sees the beauty within that marble, the grain of that stone. God can look with inside that stone and see the very best that it has within it. And then God draws out that very best. God doesn't say to that block of marble, you have to be a piece of granite before I can deal with you. Rather, God says, I love you, and let me, with my grace, draw out the very best that you have within yourself. And this is not just about going to heaven. Now, I am glad that we're going to go to heaven someday. I am glad that I am going to see people who I dearly loved who have gone before. But grace is not just about making us fly when we die. Grace is about, as it said in that last verse that we got from Ephesians today, grace is about preparing us for the good works that God set to be our way of life from the very beginning. Grace is God loving us and drawing the best out of us and showing us how we can be a blessing to every other person that we meet. Because it's not just about us and our souls. Rather, God is, through Jesus Christ, making all of existence into something new and better and powerful and loving and beautiful. And so God teaches us how we can form friendships with each other, and God teaches us how we can form good family relationships, and how we can love each other as a faith community, and the things that we can do to bless each other, the things that bring beauty and joy and love and peace and hope to not just the people around us, not just the people whose names we know, but to everyone we meet, so that we can all be part of making the world new through grace. And here's the thing, God doesn't just love us because of what we might do, or God doesn't love us because of what we have done. Did you notice in chapter 2, verse 9, it's not our good works so that no one may boast. No, God loves us from the very beginning. And I thought about something. I was there when both of our children were born. And as with all babies, including me, because I've seen the pictures, when our kids were born, there was a lot of blood, and there was that white stuff that was all over them. You know what I'm talking about? And they both came out shouting pretty good. And that's okay, kiddo. Yahoo! I didn't love them because they were immediately the most peaceful thing I'd ever seen. I didn't love them because they were immediately the most sweet-smelling thing that I'd ever seen. I loved them because I loved them. The best parent in the world, the way they love their child when they're born, God loves you a zillion times more. And I know zillion's not a real number, but you get the point I'm trying to say. God looks at each and every one of us and loves us so much and sees the good within us and through Jesus wants to draw that out and change our lives and invite us to change the world. And God makes love and relationships that would never be possible possible, because that is who God is. God makes gives us the ability to love in a way that we could never love if just on our own. And I want to dwell on that God makes loving relationships possible when it can seem impossible. The United Methodist Church, for literally my entire life and more, and I'm going to turn 40 this year, I'm 39 now, for more than 40 years, the United Methodist Church has been in conflict with itself. And it's been in conflict over basically how should people who are gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender, what role should they have in the church, and is it a sin to have a different sexual orientation or to be transgender? And people have been fighting about this my entire life. And they're still fighting about it. And frankly, that's what the General Conference was about. There was more fighting about this that went on there. I believe in full inclusion. I believe that your sexual orientation or your gender identity is not a sin. But I know that in the United Methodist Church and in this congregation today, not everyone agrees with me. And human beings have a tendency to not be able to love each other when we don't agree with each other. That's kind of how we are, and left to our own devices, that's how we would be. But I believe that somehow, and I don't fully understand how, God teaches us to love even when there seem to be great barriers or great distances between us. I cannot love anyone, even my family, the way I truly want to without God's help, but thanks be to God, I'm not alone. You're not alone. We are offered this love and this grace from God that can try to help us love each other and be part of a faith community and be part of a world even when there are deep disagreements between us. Somehow, God's grace through Jesus Christ makes the impossible possible. Somehow, through God's grace, we can love each other. I do not know what the future holds for Wesley United Methodist Church here in Sterling, Illinois. I don't know what the future holds for the United Methodist Church as a denomination. I don't know what the future holds for the United States of America or the world. I wish I did. I'm kind of one of those people who really likes to know what's about to happen, but guess what? I don't. For the past several weeks, I've been sitting down with a group of clergy from several different denominations and several different churches here in Whiteside County, and we've been reading a book. And the book talks about how we are entering a time and a period, particularly in the church in the United States of America, where we don't know what the future will hold. The maps that we had before, the paths that we had before, they've gotten us to this point, but we don't know what to go next. If you'll pardon the metaphor I used in the first service, it's like having a map, a road map in New Jersey, but you're trying to drive in Nebraska. Does that work? It's like those times when all of a sudden my phone dies and I don't have my Google Maps anymore and I don't know how to get where I'm going. And in a time such as this, God's grace is going to guide us. Now, we humans, we don't like it when we don't know where we're going. We don't like it when we have to do new things. We don't like it when we're uncertain about what the future holds. But God's grace is with us. God loves us more than we can imagine. And God will never abandon us. Nothing can take us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, as the Apostle Paul wrote. Or as one of our hymns says in one of its verses, though all the powers of hell endeavor to shake, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. So I pray that you feel grace today. I pray that we all let grace guide us where we are called to go. I pray that all of us can know how much we are loved and that we are transformed by God's grace to love each other and love all the world better. Do you feel the grace? Thank you, God, for what you have given us, this grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You're now invited to give.